Welcome back for another deep dive. And this time, we're going international with a case that shows just how messy things can get when copyright law and the internet collide.
Oh, yeah, this is a fascinating one.
We've got a Canadian broadcaster, Sponsky Enterprises, going up against a real heavyweight, Telewizja Polska, which is Poland's public broadcasting giant.
Kind of a David and Goliath situation, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
But with some pretty big global implications for how content is shared and protected online.
Exactly.
It really gets at the heart of, you know, can U.S. copyright law be applied to actions taken outside the U.S.? And should it?
Right. And the content in question here is Polish language television programs.
Right.
Sponsky Enterprises had exclusive rights to distribute those programs in North and South America.
Okay.
Now, Telewizja Polska, we'll just call them TVP from now on.
Sure.
They were using geo-blocking,
yeah,
you know, to try and keep their content from being seen in the Americas.
Makes sense.
But somehow 51 episodes slipped through the cracks and became available in the U.S. And that's where Sponsky saw a potential copyright violation.
So the question is, even though TVP didn't do this on purpose, did letting those episodes through still count as infringement under U.S. law?
Right. And if so, what kind of consequences could they be facing?
That's what the court had to figure out.
To unpack all of that, we need to break down the three key legal issues that they wrestled with.
Okay.
And the first one is a bit surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Did TVP's actions even count as a performance under U.S. copyright law?
Right, because they didn't exactly, you know, screen these episodes in a U.S. movie theater or anything.
Exactly.
This is a really interesting point because it shows how copyright law is still trying to adapt to the internet.
Right.
To figure this out, the court looked back at a really landmark case.
Okay.
You might remember it. Aereo.
Oh, yeah.
That one involved a company that captured over-the-air broadcast signals and then streamed them to subscribers.
Right, right.
And the Supreme Court eventually decided that this was a violation of copyright because Aereo was basically acting like a cable company without the proper licenses.
They were performing the copyrighted work.
Exactly. Even though they argued they were just providing the technology.
Right.
So are you thinking what I'm thinking? Did the court apply the Aereo precedent to TVP?
That's exactly where I was going with this.
Interesting.
Are you saying that they also considered TVP to be performing the copyrighted works?
Yep. Even though it was viewers clicking play on those episodes, the court found that TVP took deliberate steps to make that U.S. viewing experience possible.
Okay.
They uploaded the content.
Yeah.
They formatted it for U.S. audiences.
Got it.
And that's key here. It was an intentional act on their part, even if the geo-blocking failed.
And the court really drove this point home.
They did.
With a very specific quote.
Yeah.
PVP used its own equipment to allow users to watch copyrighted programs.
So powerful.
It wasn't some outside hacker or some weird technical glitch.
Right.
This was a choice TVP made.
Interesting.
So that brings us to the next big question.
Okay.
Does U.S. copyright law even apply to a Polish broadcaster?
That's a good question.
TVP argued that holding them liable for something they did in Poland would be kind of unfair.
I can see that point of view.
Well,
what do you think? Well, the court really zeroed in on where the harm actually occurred.
Okay.
Which is in the U.S.
Right.
It was American viewers who got to see the content without permission.
Right.
So their logic was essentially, it doesn't really matter where the content came from. What matters is that it was unlawfully consumed in the U.S.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Are there any other legal precedents that support that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
One that comes to mind is Oracle v. SAP.
Okay.
The court there also said it's the location of the harm, not the location of the infringement, that determines jurisdiction.
So this is a pretty big takeaway.
It is.
For anyone involved in international broadcasting, you can't just assume you're safe from U.S. copyright law just because you're operating in a different country.
Right. If your content ends up in front of U.S. viewers without authorization, there could be consequences. Mm. So it's not as simple as just staying within your own borders anymore.
Right. Now we've established that what TVP did was a violation of U.S. copyright law.
Okay.
But did they do it on purpose? And why does that even matter?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
And where this idea of statutory damages comes into play.
All right, let's dive into that.
Okay, so these are basically set amounts of money that a court can award for each work that's been infringed.
Okay.
And they can be pretty substantial.
How substantial we're talking?
Anywhere from $750 to $30,000 per work.
$30,000 per episode.
Potentially.
Wow, and we're talking about 51 episodes.
Yeah, that could add up pretty quickly.
So intent really matters here.
It does.
Because if the infringement is willful, meaning they knew they were violating copyright, that range jumps up even higher to a maximum of $150,000 per work.
Whoa!
So did the court decide the TVP acted willfully or not?
That is the million-dollar question, or in this case, potentially the multi-million-dollar question.
Well, let's dig into the evidence and see what they concluded.
Sounds good to me. So did TVP act willfully?
Yeah. Did they knowingly remove that geo-blocking?
Well, the court said yes.
Nice.
They did not buy the whole it was an accident defense.
Ah.
They found that TVP did act willfully.
Okay.
And they had some pretty strong evidence to back that up.
Like, what kind of evidence are we talking about?
Well, first off, TVP knew about Spansky's exclusive rights to distribute those programs in the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
They had actually signed a contract.
Oh, wow.
Acknowledging those rights, so they couldn't really play the whoops, we didn't know card.
Okay, so no pleading ignorance there.
Nope.
What else did the court find convincing?
Well, remember those 51 episodes that ended up in the U.S.?
Yeah.
It turns out TVP didn't just accidentally forget to geo-block them.
Nope.
They actually intentionally removed the geo-blocking.
So it wasn't just an oversight.
Oh, not according to the court.
They knowingly took it down.
It seems that way.
Well, that's pretty incriminating.
Yeah, and it gets even worse.
Oh, no. What happened?
During the lawsuit, they got caught trying to manipulate their server logs.
What?
Yeah, and hide evidence of what they did.
Wow, so they knew they messed up.
It seems like it.
And then tried to cover their tracks.
Yeah, classic cover-up.
Why was that such a big deal to the court?
Well, it basically confirmed their intent.
Right.
Instead of owning up to the mistake, they tried to hide it.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
Right, legally speaking, it looks really bad.
Yeah.
It suggests they weren't acting in good faith and makes it hard to argue that the infringement was unintentional.
So how did that finding of willful infringement affect the outcome of the case?
Well, because the court found that TVP acted willfully, they awarded Spansky the maximum statutory damages.
Okay.
Which was $60,000 per episode.
$60,000 per episode for 51 episodes?
You do the math.
That's over $3 million.
It is a hefty price to pay for something they claimed was an oversight.
Yeah, that sends a pretty strong message to broadcasters worldwide.
It does.
U.S. copyright law has some teeth.
It does.
And ignoring it can have serious consequences.
So this case isn't just about the money.
Right.
It sets a precedent that could have a big impact on how international copyright disputes are handled going forward.
This is important for international broadcasters out there.
Yeah.
You can't just assume you're immune to U.S. copyright law just because you're in a different country.
Exactly. The internet makes it possible for content to be accessed from anywhere.
Right.
And that means you have a responsibility to make sure you're respecting copyright laws in all those places.
It's a good reminder that geographic boundaries are becoming more and more blurred.
They are.
Especially in the digital age.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just rely on geo-blocking as a foolproof method of protection.
It's not enough.
So what other strategies should broadcasters consider when trying to navigate this really complex landscape?
So to wrap up our look at Spansky Enterprises v. Telewizja Polska, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from all of this?
I think the biggest takeaway, especially for those in the legal field, is that in the digital age, you just can't count on geographic boundaries to protect your content anymore.
Right, like content can be accessed from practically anywhere.
Exactly. And this case really shows that U.S. courts are willing to enforce U.S. copyright law, even if the infringing actions took place outside the U.S.
It shows how important it is to think about the global reach of copyright.
And to be really proactive in protecting your IP.
Yeah, no matter where you're located.
So we've talked about geo-blocking, but what other practical steps can content creators take to protect themselves in this globalized digital environment?
Well, one of the most basic steps is registering your copyrights.
Okay, so it might seem kind of like a hassle, but it's actually super important.
It is. If you ever need to enforce your rights, you'll be glad you did it.
And we also talked about international treaties and agreements.
Right. Those can really help.
Yeah, they can provide additional layers of protection for your work overseas.
And there are organizations out there like WIPO.
The World Intellectual Property Organization.
Exactly. They can help you understand all these international frameworks.
So for our listeners who are lawyers, what are some of the key takeaways from this case?
I think Spansky really emphasizes how important it is to stay up to date with the latest developments in copyright law and technology.
Right, because things are constantly changing.
There are cases like this show that the rules of the game are always evolving.
It's not enough to just set it and forget it.
Definitely, you have to be proactive, adaptable, and always willing to learn and adjust your strategies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, what final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think Spansky reminds us that the internet has completely changed how copyright law works.
Yeah, we can't just rely on old ideas about geographic boundaries.
Or think that technology is a magic bullet.
Right. It's about having a comprehensive strategy.
Exactly. Being proactive, registering your copyrights, understanding international agreements, and really monitoring and enforcing your rights.
And maybe most importantly, recognizing that the law in this area is constantly evolving.
Yes, staying informed and being able to adapt is crucial.
So it's a balancing act, right?
It is.
We want to protect creators, but we also want to encourage innovation and access to information.
Right. Finding that balance is key.
Well said.
It's a fascinating field.
It really is. And cases like this give us valuable insights into how the law is adapting to the digital age.
It's always changing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise on this complex and fascinating case.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, we hope you found this deep dive into Spassky Enterprises v. Telewidja Polska informative and thought-provoking.
Definitely check out the show notes for links to all the cases and resources we talked about.
And until next time, keep learning. Stay curious. And remember, in the world of digital copyright, knowledge is power.